You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
My name is Bin, and I'm the senior pastor of Sun Life Church. It is always good to have you here. I really mean that. It means a lot when you would set time aside to come and hear the word of God, to worship to God, and to encourage one another and serve each other. It means a lot to me. And this morning I get the wonderful privilege, like most Sunday, to look at the word of God, expound the word of God, and let God speak to us. Yeah? I want you to leave this place and say, I've heard from Him. I know what He's saying to me about my situation. I know what I must do. And I get excited when I get to do that. Now, just a show of hands, who were here last week when I preached chapter 3 and kind of kept you hanging? Good. And who actually cheated and went into the Bible and read chapter 4? Hands up. Praise God. It means you're reading the Bible, which is a great, great thing, right? So you know the story. You know what's going to happen, right? But for those who weren't here, for those who are away or those who kind of went to dreamland, let me give you a recap of chapter 3 so we're on the same page, and then we'll dive into chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 is a huge chapter, so I'm going to do my best to expound the first half, and next week we do the second half. Okay, so here's a recap. Okay, so Naomi is the mother of Ruth. She's the daughter-in-law. And the mother-in-law realized it's time for her daughter to find a husband, to find a family, to find a home. She comes up with this great plan. Why don't you propose to Boaz? Why don't you go and find Boaz and tell him if he would redeem you, would marry you? He's threshing barley at the corner of the farm. Wait until he's finished his food and he's had a great meal. When he goes to sleep, you are to uncover his feet. Is that right? And all you're going to do is just to lie down by his feet. And in the middle of the night, he'll get cold. And when he wakes up, he'll see you. And of course, that happens. Boaz wakes up, see this beautiful young lady lying by his feet. Ruth begins to propose. Boaz says, yes, I will redeem you. I will marry you. But there's a but, there's a snag, there's another redeemer, there's another person in line. This person, he gets the first priority. He gets to redeem you. If he doesn't, I will redeem you. But I can't go ahead with this, Ruth. You've got to let me speak to the other redeemer. Is that right? So I've kind of kept us hanging. I mean, you know, will Ruth be married to Boaz? Will Ruth receive that long stem red rose? Or would it be the other person who would marry Ruth? And the final scene is set. This is the final scene. This is a wonderful story, like a movie, and it is the final scene. I mean, let's be honest here. We can watch a movie and sleep during the movie, but we want to be awake for the final scene. Is that right? The final scene is it. You pay $22 to really watch the final scene. I mean, you don't want to miss out Luke Skywalker up against Darth Vader in that final scene of Return of the Jedi. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that final round where Rocky Balboa is against Apollo in Rocky 3. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss it when Sam and Annie express their love for each other in Sleepless in Seattle. You don't want to miss that. This is the final scene. And if you're going to go to sleep, you've lost your money, right? You want to be awake here. This is the final scene. Ruth, chapter 4. Have I built enough suspense? Hopefully, right? Are you going to listen to me? I had a chat with a young lady. I won't mention her name before the service. She said to me, I've been at your church for 4 weeks. 4 weeks in a row now. Bit of a fist pump achievement because I'm hearing God through what the Bible is being said. And that really encouraged me. Not what you have been saying, Pastor Ben, but the Word of God through Scripture. I pray that God will speak to you, that you will hear God through me this morning. I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to do justice to your Word, that I would expound and preach your Word with passion, with clarity, with authority, and I pray that we would all hear from you and we would leave this place encouraged, because Jesus, you are our great Redeemer. Help me, be with me, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I titled this sermon, Jesus, our great Redeemer. And I'm going to look verse 1 to 12. Next week we're going to finish off the series. Three things I want to talk about are redemption. First one is redemption is God's grace on display. God's grace on display is our redemption. Secondly, redemption does not finish with you. It's for everyone. And thirdly, redemption secures a future joy. Three things I want to talk about based on the text. So if you have your Bible, turn with me. Oh, by the way, if you've got your app, you can open up the app because the text is in the app. For those who's like, oh, you got an app? Yeah, we got an app. We're a real church here. We got an app. You know you're a real church, we got an app. Download the app. And there's notes, by the way. There's also notes, right? Okay, Ruth chapter 4, let's go. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the garden redeemer, there he is, he's the other redeemer he had mentioned, came along. So what's the picture there? Boaz, he goes to the gate of the town, and Mr. Other Redeemer, we don't know his name, let's just call him Mr. X, whatever his name is, he happens to come along. Boaz says, come over here, my friend. Sit down. So Mr. X, the other redeemer, went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, so Boaz found 10 elders, people in authority, gathered them together, and they asked him to sit down, and they did so. Verse 3. Then he said to the other redeemer, the other kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Now, Elimelech was Naomi's late husband, correct? He's passed away. So we stop right there. In the scene, we see two kinsmen redeemer. There's Boaz and Mr. X. Both redeemers, they have the responsibility and the rights to redeem Elimelech's family. Now, the kinsman redeemer, if you remember from last week's sermon, like the name implies, he is a male relative with a responsibility to buy back the land of someone in his family. In those days, land is everything. Remember when Israel lost her land? She lost her identity. Land in those days, very important. So if you are poor and someone comes along and buy and purchase your land, you've lost your identity. But there's a redeemer, a relative. His responsibility is to buy back the land so that the land would still remain in the family, belongs to the clan. Are you with me? So that's one responsibility. The second one is that the redeemer has to marry a widow, especially a childless widow, so that they will have children and the family name will continue on within the family. Are you with me? Because remember, Mahlon was Ruth's husband, right? And he died. So if Ruth doesn't get remarried, no children, Mahlon's name, Elimelech's name, is finished. So the Redeemer comes along, marries the widow so that they can start a family, and then the family name remains in the clan. Are you with me? So this is the responsibility of these Redeemers, Boaz and Mr. X. Now Boaz, being a man of integrity, he calls Mr. X over and proposed to him, by the way, Mr. X, the land that belongs to Naomi, our brother Elimelech, is up for sale. Will you redeem it? Because you've got the first rights. Let's carry on. Verse 4. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, these elders, right? If you redeem it, please do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right, there it is, to do it except you. And I am next in line. Okay. Boaz is such a great man. You know, you have the rights, not me. I'm next in line. Would you buy the land? And he says, I will redeem it. Okay. We've got a problem. The author is building up the tension. Houston, we have a problem because it's not going to plan, because this Mr. X, he wants to redeem. Can you imagine if Ruth was there or Naomi was in the crowd just listening and watching this conversation? And Boaz is saying, Mr. X, will you buy back the land? And Mr. X goes, yes, I will buy back the land. Can you imagine the snag? Can you imagine the problem? Oh, Naomi would look at her daughter Ruth. I am so sorry. Our plan backfired. I'm so sorry, daughter, but I thought that Boaz would redeem you. I thought that Boaz would marry you and purchase the land. But clearly, I've heard with my own ears that Mr. So-and-so is going to buy back the land. I am so sorry, darling. Can you imagine, Ruth? I'm going to be redeemed by someone else and not Boaz? The person who's treated me so kind? This whole plan has backfired. Verse 5. Then Boaz says, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite. Oh, he's a smart man, Boaz. By the way, you want to buy the land? Go for it, buddy. Oh, I forgot to tell you, there's a conditional clause. You've got to look after Ruth. She's a Moabite. She's not an Israelite. She's not part of God's family. She's from pagan world. You've got to look after her. She's a dead man's widow. Right? In order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Okay. There's a catch there, Mr. So-and-so. You can buy the land. You're first off the rank. Go for it. But did I say that there's an old lady? Her name is Naomi. And then she's got a daughter-in-law. Her name is Ruth. And you know the deal, buddy. If you buy the land, you've got to also redeem these women, and your decision, go for it. Do you really want to look after a Moabite? Do you really want to look after an old lady? Mr. So-and-so, really, do you want to live with your mother-in-law for the next how many years? Come on, she's pretty, you know. Do you see what he's doing? He's smart. Look in verse 6. At this, the garden redeemer says, then I cannot redeem it. Woohoo! Come on, this is getting exciting. I can't redeem it because it might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Oh, Mr. So-and-so, he gets nervous. He gets cold feet. He saw the responsibility of looking after the mother-in-law and marrying this Moabite person by the name of Ruth. He realized it's going to affect his life. He probably has his eye on another woman. He thought, you know, if it was simply the land, I will buy back. Not a problem. But I didn't know there was the land and there's two women there. I can't do this. No, you redeem. Boaz, I can't do it. I've got other plans. It's not going to be good for me. You can redeem it yourself. Now, can you imagine Ruth and Naomi hearing this from afar? This is amazing. And Boaz is going to redeem me. And I'm hanging there, not quite sure what's going to happen. But Boaz is going to redeem me. Verse 9 and 10, then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. And we stop there. From that day onwards, Boaz would become Ruth's husband. And you're saying, what's this got to do with us? How do we fit into the story? You know, in the story, we are actually Ruth. We're not Boaz. We're not the kinsman redeemer going around redeeming people. No. We are Ruth, Naomi, widows in the story. And Jesus, he is Boaz. Boaz is pointing towards the greatest redeemer, Jesus. We, Ruth. Here's my first point here. Redemption is God's grace on display. What is redemption? I mean, you hear this a lot in the Christian world, but redemption simply means it's an exchange of objects with the price involved. It is buying out something. I'm going to purchase you. I'm going to buy you out from your situation. And the language in the Bible usually refers to slavery. A slave is bonded to the master. Someone comes along and I will redeem you and I will purchase you. I will buy you out and then I will set you free. Just recently, I read in the papers some young people, I think in Perth, they went to the local live seafood market. I don't know if some of you read this. And they went to the lobster aquarium and they purchased all the lobsters, all the live lobsters from this market. And that's a lot of lobsters. I don't know how much it cost, but it cost them a lot of money. And they took all these live lobsters from the seafood market and they went to the nearest beach to release these lobsters. What a beautiful story. I know, for me, it will have a different ending. But hey, isn't that redemption? Isn't that redemption? Someone would come along and purchase and buy out all these lobsters and take these lobsters in the safety of their arms and then drive to the nearest beach and set Willie free. Go! Go! That is redemption. And what I see here is that yours, that's your story, my story. We are slave to sin. We are hopeless. We have no say in our redemption. We did not decide that God would redeem us. It's all Jesus. He did it all when we did not deserve anything. And that's why Paul would say in Romans 3, 23, 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely." You see that? By His grace. Through the redemption, there's the word, that came by Jesus, Christ Jesus. We're all sinners. We're all in need of redemption. And God would come along and redeem us and purchase us by His grace. Not because we've done something. Not because God says, "Yes, I'm waiting for you to be good before I would redeem you." He redeemed us despite our sinfulness to release us into the freedom of His arms. Paul also says in Ephesians 1, 7, "In Him we have redemption." That word again. "Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of" what? "God's grace." Now, I want to say something. Not sure how to tackle this matter, but I've noticed at Sun Life Church over the last 12 months, because I know you very well as your pastor, I know you very well. Over the last 12 months, I've noticed that six individuals have welcomed puppies into the Sun Life community. You know who you are. That's so cute. I was just talking to someone just recently who came to my office with his puppy. I won't mention his name. He carried his puppy in a little cardboard box. Sat in my office and I said to him, "Is this your master plan?" Because what are you talking about, Pastor? "Is this your master plan to win the heart of someone? Because we know old ladies like strong men with little puppies." And of course, I won't mention name, but his reply was, I don't know who that person is, but you know what I'm talking about, right? But I do know something. I do know something that some of you have gone to the RSPCA. Or the dog refuge, or the pound, is that right? And you've walked in there, and you have what? Saved a dog's life. You have redeemed a dog, not because the dog said, "Please redeem me." Not because the puppy says that I have done something good for you, so why don't you redeem me? Not because I've done some favor into your family that I have given to the church or whatever. The puppy did nothing, and you came along and you redeemed and you saved that puppy. Our redemption is purely by the grace of God. And you do not deserve to be redeemed. You do not deserve God to buy you out from the slavery of sin and set you free into the Savior's arm. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve it, but we receive it. And that's wonderful. That is God's love and God's grace. I need to tell you this, that some of you need to hear from me that God wants to redeem you. God wants to redeem your situation. And God is not waiting for you to be good. You don't have to do anything before Jesus would redeem you. You don't have to go through years of hardship and punish yourself before Jesus would redeem you. You don't even have to sort out your mess first before Jesus has to redeem you. You don't have to be a good person before Jesus redeems you. Because if you had to do all those things, it's no longer grace. It's conditional. And grace means it's unconditional. Therefore, he says that I want to redeem your situation. I'm not waiting for you to be good. I'm not waiting for you to give your time to serve me. I want to redeem you. I want to take you out from the slavery of sin and set you into my arms. That's a Jesus that we have come to worship. And we see this in the story. Ruth and Naomi, maybe they're in the crowd just listening to the conversation between, you know, the two redeemers. And they're going, I just hope and I just wish. Because Ruth and Naomi, they've done nothing for Boaz. They have done nothing. And Boaz could have easily said, I don't have to redeem you. Of course he could. Redeemers don't have to redeem. It may be their responsibility, it may be their rights, but they don't have to go ahead with it. The first one didn't. And they're just waiting. Will he redeem me? Would he redeem me? And then she heard those wonderful words, today you are my witnesses that I've acquired the widow of Mahlon, the Moabite, Ruth, to be my wife. I redeem her today. And Naomi is saying, Ruth, did you hear that? He's going to redeem us. We've done nothing. We don't deserve this. He showered us with kindness from the moment we got back from Moab to Bethlehem, and he's going to do it. He's going ahead with it. That's Jesus, who redeems you and me, not based on what we've done, but the fact that he loves us so much and it's unconditional. That's God's grace on display. And I want you to understand that. And the question is, will you let him redeem you? For some of you here, you have not received Jesus as your redeemer yet. Will you let him redeem you? Number two, redemption is for everyone. Everyone. I want you to see this in the text with me. I want you to see how Ruth is described in this story. Go with me to the very first chapter, chapter 1, verse 4, Ruth the Moabite. It's on the screen there. Ooh, already she's a Moabite because she's not part of God's family. She's a no-gooder. Chapter 2, verse 6, she's a Moabitess who came back from Moab. That's a double whammy. Moabitess from Moab with Naomi. But look at that, she's in verse 10, chapter 2. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Now she's described as a foreigner. Now let's go into this particular chapter. Chapter 4, verse 5. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite. She's now the dead man's widow. You see that? Not only she's a Moabite, Moabitess, we know that she's a worker, she's a foreigner, and now she's a widow. Look in verse 10. I have acquired Ruth the Moabite, Marlon's widow, as my wife. Can you see how the author is building up the tension and also showing us the transition of Ruth? She starts off being a foreigner from Moabite. She's a worker. She's a widow. And look in the middle of verse 10. Ruth is my wife. You see that? She has gone from an outsider to an insider. She's gone from a Moabite to an Israelite. She's gone from being a widow to now being a wife. She was once a foreigner of the land and now part of God's family. Can you see that? Can you see how God would redeem this woman, childless widow, a foreigner, and God would graft her into his story and have her part of his redemptive plan? I want you to hear from me that no one in this room is beyond redemption. That God's redemption is for everyone. This may be the first time you've heard the gospel message. Or maybe you've heard this so many times, but you haven't received redemption yet. I want you to know there's no one in this room beyond redemption, because God's redemption is for everyone. He can save everyone. And I know that as I study the Word of God, that we serve a God who's so passionate, welcoming people into His family, pursuing people, calling people home. That's a great God. He wants you to be part of His story. He wants you to be part of His family. He wants to graft your brokenness and my brokenness into His story so that the glory belongs to Him. If you think that you're so broken, if you think that God can't restore you and redeem you, look at Ruth. Have you lost your husband like that? Are you a widow with no children? Are you in poverty? Are you just gleaning for food? Are you so desperate? That's you and me. That in our brokenness, in our lowest point, God can still redeem us and restore us and graft us into His story with a purpose for His glory. That's a great God. And I want you to hear that from me. Because for some of you, the pain that you're going through, you're going, why is this happening to me? This is not fair. I've been praying for breakthrough. I've been praying for my husband to believe in the Lord. I've been praying for my children to come back to the Lord. I'm giving up. I'm so broken. I'm so weak. I'm so hopeless. I want you to hear from me that you are never beyond redemption. That God can still restore your situation and bring you back into His story so that your situation will bring glory to Him. Amen. That's what I see right here. That none of us is ever beyond redemption. His redemption is for everyone. Well, Pastor Ben, you don't get it. I like what you're saying, but you're not wearing my shoes. You're in my situation. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know how much I hate myself and how wicked I am, and I put on a mask when I come here and I try to put on a show that everything is all right, but you don't know my pain. You don't know my hurt. You don't know what I've done during the week. You don't know how I hate myself and my family and my situation. I'm actually mad with God. You know what, friends? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that God knows. And I know that the Word of God reminds me that no one is beyond redemption. I want you to try Him. I want you to give Him a go and trust Him. And let Him restore you. He's a great God. He's a God who says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm there with you and I'm seeing you cry. I'm in your lowest point and my job is to restore you and redeem you so ultimately your life will be grafted to my story so that you would bring glory to me. Try Him. You try Him and let Him restore you and you can see what He can do. And I guarantee you, the longer you live and you look back in that moment where you go, I'm beyond redemption, and you can see that breakthrough and you can say, now I know why God is doing that. I can't believe that my life is being used for His glory, that my pain and my suffering is being used to help someone else. Try God. You know, in the gospel, in Luke chapter 15, there are three parables you should all know. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep. The second one is the parable of the lost coin. And finally, the lost son. But when you read all three parables, you see something that is common, a thread that weaves through all three parables. And here's the common thread. Look with me. Luke 15:6. The shepherd calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. Look in verse 9. The woman calls her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I found the lost coin. How about in verse 32? The father says to his other son, now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. You know what is the common thread? That when Jesus shared the parable, He's talking about a God in heaven, a Father who welcomes you home. He is searching for you. He's pursuing you. He's not letting you go. He knows where you're at and He's hunting you down. And for some of you, you're still here. You know why? Because God is pursuing you. God is not letting you go. God wants to welcome you home, and God is rejoicing over you the day He says, yes, I want to come home. And He rejoices over you and He says, I'm so glad that you're home. I thought you were lost, but now you have been found. That's a redeeming God. who redeems every single one of us. And maybe your story will lead to the redemption of someone else. Never think that God's redemption stops with you, because God may use your story, your redemptive purposes, to redeem someone else, because God's redemption doesn't cease with you. It goes to everyone. Amen? Come on. I'm in the Pentecostal church now. Come on. Now, finally, if you like this here, God's redemption secures a future joy. A future joy. Verse 11. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman," which is Ruth, "who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together build up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem." Let's stop right there. Here's the conclusion. The elders and all the people says, "May Ruth come into your family, Boaz, and may she be like Rachel and Leah." Now, we need to understand a bit of background here, because in Genesis, Jacob marries Rachel and Leah. Is that right? And Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, they have 12 sons. Is that right? And these 12 sons becomes 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that right? And Jacob changes his name to Israel. And we know that Jacob is like the father of Israel. Therefore, Leah and Rachel are like the mothers of Israel. Is that right? And what these elders are saying, "May this day, Ruth, when you come into the family, may you be like Leah and Rachel. May you be like the mothers of Israel. May God bless you with children and lots of children." And we know what happens, right? Spoiler alert. We know what happens, right? They give birth to Obed. And Obed gives birth to who? David. And we follow David all the way to Jesus. What a wonderful prophecy that at the end of the day, there is such joy. In verse 12, "Through the offspring the Lord gives you by His young..." This young woman, Ruth, "may your family, be like of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah." Once again, may you have family, may you have children. Can you see this? Can you see how this wonderful story ends with happiness? What starts off as bitterness ends with happiness. Remember in chapter 1, verse 9, this was Naomi's prayer to her daughters. "May the Lord grant each of you," that's Orpah and Ruth, "find rest in the home of another husband." Remember? "Your widows, my desire for you to find a family." And then in verse 1 of chapter 3, the master plan. "Hey Ruth, my daughter, you must find a home or a family. I'll find one for you." And then now in chapter 4, we have this blessing from the elders that may Ruth and Boaz bear many children. What started as a story of bitterness ends in a story of happiness. A childless widow becomes the wife with children. Listen carefully, Sun Life Church. It's very important that as your pastor, I would never ever say to you that this life will be easy. Listen to me long enough, and you know that I will never promise you that. I will never say to you that you would live to an old age. I will never say to you that you would enjoy your retirement. I will never say to you that life is going to be easy. Just during the week, on Wednesday, we're having dinner with the family, you know, Tran and the kids. My boys told me that their friends, a father, passed away. And I've got two boys, one in year 5 and one in year 3. And the sons of this man who passed away, they are also in year 3 and year 5. In fact, Cameron sits next to this boy who lost his father during the week. And Oliver knows the brother, because you know, they're all in the same year, same age, same school, same class. I remember speaking to this man a couple years ago, because Cameron and his son had a bit of a fight, blood nose, well, boys be boys. And we spoke over the phone. I said, "Hey, it's all right, brother, boys we boys. I'm all good. It's good. We had a chuckle and we finished the conversation 2 years ago. He passed away on Wednesday. And Trent and I, we were just broken because it hit home, because he's in his 40s like me. He's got two boys like us. He's survived by his wife and now two little boys. And immediately after that, I looked at my boys. And I said to my boys, I can't promise you, boys, that I'll be around to see you guys grow old. I can't. I can't promise you that I will be around to see you get married or have kids. I can't. That's the reality. I want to be there. I want to be a granddad, whatever, but I can't promise you that, boys. I can't promise you, boys, that life will be easy and life will be straight. I can't. But I said that what I can promise you is this. I bet you my life. I guarantee you with my life. In fact, the Father guaranteed with the life of His Son that I can promise you that at the end of the day, there will be happiness. That at the end of the day, you will enjoy Jesus forevermore. And what may be bitterness will always end with happiness, because the Word of God reminds us that our future joy is not in this world, but in Christ alone. I said to my boys, I promise you that. That's why I do what I do, kids. That's why Dad loves what he does, because he knows that at the end of the day, we get to enjoy Christ forevermore. This is not the true meaning of life. Life doesn't offer the joy that we have in Jesus. Our redemption secures a future joy. My boys understand that. And I want you to understand that as well. That if I'm going to promise you as your pastor that life is going to be easy and you're going to live to an old age and your road is going to be straight, I'm fooling yourself. But I promise you, I guarantee you my life, and I know the Father has guaranteed us with His Son's life, that you'll find satisfaction in Him in eternity future. Our redemption secures a future joy. Do you have that joy? At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, John, he writes this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Sun Life Church, that's our future joy. Not here. Not in our retirement. Not in how much money we make. Not in the fact that we'll see our kids grow old or have grandkids or get married. Our final joy is to be with Christ forevermore. And that takes place through our redemption. It secures a future joy. The book of Ruth reminds us what may start off as a story of bitterness will always end in a story of happiness. Our redemption is God's grace on display. Our redemption is for everyone. Our redemption secures a future joy. I pray that God has blessed you with this series, and we've got one more sermon to go next week, because it's a wonderful ending next week. You do not want to miss next week, my brothers and sisters. If you want to cheat and read on, you can. In fact, I encourage you to read on. But come back next week as we wrap up this wonderful series. And then we move to a new series, Road to the Cross, where we talk about this wonderful passion leading towards the cross for Easter and Good Friday. All eyes closed. Let me pray.